The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He's a world champion wrestler,
best-selling author,
actor,
and lead singer of Fozzy.
Now
he's rocking the podcast world.
Marvelous.
This is Talk is Jericho.
Talk is Jericho.
Starring Chris Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. And it's Friday.
It's Friday.
The remedy for boredom has arrived. The People's Podcast is here. Come on inside. All right, Talk is Jericho. I got WWE Tag Team Champions. The Usos are here. Jimmy and Jey Usos are coming up. They are real-life twin brothers of the amazing, long-living, one of the biggest wrestling families of all time, the Fatus. So many great performers in that lineage, from Tonga Kid to the Wild Samoans to Sika to Afa. To Rikishi Fatu, their father, Roman Reigns, their cousin, The Rock, their cousin. So many great performers in that family, and Jimmy and Jey are added into that. They got a lot of great stories about being twins, the ribs they pulled on unsuspecting teachers and girlfriends back in the day. They also talk about their dad, their uncles, their cousins, the whole family situation. We'll talk about their failed audition for SmackDown, how they rebounded to make their Raw debut, their first tag team championship, and the role that their uncle Eki, aka Umaga, played in their career. I loved Umaga. Jimmy and Jey loved Umaga. Got a lot of great stories about him. Coming up, lots of cool things to talk about, including the great debate. If you haven't got your tickets yet for the Monday Night War debate, Pritchard versus Bischoff with Jericho moderating, they are available now at rfvideo.com. This is the first time you'll ever see this. Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff, WWE versus WCW, debating the Monday Night Wars. What was revisionist history? What really happened, what really went down. We're going to hear the behind the scenes, behind the Iron Curtain stories, tales about the biggest war in wrestling history. I will be there moderating it. I'm very excited. That's January 25th in Philadelphia at Dave and Buster's on Columbus Avenue. The debate starts at 1 p.m., so you can still make it on time to the Royal Rumble if you want to go check that out or watch it or go there live afterwards. Plus, I'll be there for a VIP signing at 10 a.m. If you get there early, I will be there signing and some autographs, hanging out, shaking babies, kissing hands, doing all the things that I love to do, followed by the great debate, Pritchard versus Bischoff. That's January 25th in Philadelphia at Dave and Buster's on Columbus Avenue at 1 p.m. Come on down and be a part of wrestling history. Now, before we go any further, you know, I want to thank you guys for listening to my show, for schwazzing this podcast twice a week. I know you got hundreds of thousands of choices on the podcast world. I want you to know that my podcast, Talk is Jericho, is one of the biggest podcasts on PodcastOne.com. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you checking it out. And I appreciate you doing all your shopping through my Amazon links. It's the easiest way to support Talk is Jericho. You know it. You go to PodcastOne.com. You click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Then you hit the Talk is Jericho button. The easiest way to support the show. Every time you use one of my Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a couple buckolas to the show to help us cover production costs. I got links for Amazon USA, links for Amazon UK, and links for Amazon Canada A. That's right, man. You can get all kinds of cool stuff on Amazon. You can get any Motorhead record that you want to get. I had an amazing conversation with Lemmy, the king of rock and roll, the true pioneer of heavy metal that was on the last Talk is Jericho. You can get any Hulk Hogan movie that you want to get, Santa with Muscles, Mr. Mr. Nanny, Suburban Commando. Had a great conversation with Hulk, two parts a few episodes ago. Check out both of those. Check out Paul Stanley, Ryback, JBL. So many amazing guests. If you like me and you like this show, I guarantee you'll love every single episode because we're just that damn good. You can also pick up the new Fozzie record, Do You Want to Start a War? A lot of people were saying, what was the first song that you played on the Lemmy interview? It was Brides of Fire by Fozzie. I forgot to introduce that. So if you heard the Lemmy show and you heard that kick-ass rock and roll tune at the beginning of it, that was Fozzie, Brides of Fire. Do You Want to Start a War? New album, new single on the radio. You can get that now at Amazon.com. Plus my new book, The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea, my third New York Times bestseller, also available. You get anything you want, though, anything you need. And the truth about using my Amazon links, you buy anything. It won't cost you nothing extra. There's no hidden fees or extra charges. So if you happen to be doing some online shopping, please do it through my Amazon links. Help out this show in the process. You go to podcast1.com. You click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Then you hit the Talk is Jericho button. You bookmark it so you can get all those easy links. One easy click. Do it right now. Help me out. Y2J Winter Tour with the WWE continues. These are the only dates I'm doing. Remember, no TVs, no pay-per-views, only house shows, and only the ones that are listed at WWE.com, including tonight in St. Louis, my big return to St. Louis. I won the WCW world title from The Rock there, and I also won the WWE world title from The Undertaker there about 8 years later. So it's a very monumental, historical town for me. Saturday night, I'll be in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay. Afterwards, I'll be at Body English hosting a party. That's at the Hard Rock Casino. Come on down and hang out with me there. One time only. I love Las Vegas and I love the Hard Rock and I'm excited to be there. So come on down, check me out. Then on Sunday, we head over to Houston, another great monumental arena, legendary arena. Lots of great stuff happening in Houston. Go to WWE.com for all the rest of the dates. There's Trenton, there's East Rutherford, Edmonton, Calgary, Jacksonville, Canton, Tampa, Fort Myers, Madison Square Garden, Toronto, Buffalo, all of them up at WWE.com. Then I want you to go to FozzyRock.com if you live in the UK and Europe for the Cinderblock Party World Tour 2015. Continues March 4th in Belfast, 5th Cork, 6th Dublin, 7th Nottingham, 8th Wolverhampton, 9th Manchester, 10th Glasgow, 11th London, 12th Bristol, 13th Exeter, 14th Southampton, 15th Brighton, 17th Paris, 18th Pratteln, Switzerland. Cesaro helped me pronounce that one properly. Munich on the 19th, Mannheim on the 20th, Bochum Germany on the Germany on the 21st. All those tickets, information, and VIP packages at FozzyRock.com. All right. Going to be talking to the new WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, two good friends of mine. Had a great time hanging out with them in England, actually, when I was there with the WWE a few months ago on the back of the bus. It was the Usos, myself, and Dean Ambrose, all Talk is Jericho alumni. We had a great time just hanging out and having a few beers and having a few boys. It's always cool to be around the guys and be in the WWE system. And that's why I came back for those live events that we talked about. Started last week in Montgomery, Alabama, and Mobile, Alabama. Always, hadn't worked for a while, for a couple months. And you never know how your body's going to react. I've been doing my DDP yoga regularly and doing lots of circuit training and CrossFit training. So I think I was ready. But the thing about wrestling is it doesn't matter how much training you do for it. It's kind of like a cross-country run. You can train for it as much as you want, but when the run actually starts, it's a whole different ball of wax. And it's the same with wrestling. You can be in great shape, but there's a difference between being in cardio shape and being in wrestling shape. You know, there's a lot of bumping and up and down, and you know, just the concept of bumping itself, it's very much of a shock for your body. I remember somebody told me once that if you take a bump, it's like getting hit by a car at like 10 miles an hour. So if you're taking, 10, 15, 20 bumps a night, that's a lot of shocks to the system, especially if you haven't been doing it for a while. I think when you've been doing it for a while, it kind of builds up like a body callus for you where, you're just kind of used to it. But when you step away for a while, you realize that you need to get back in a bumping shape. So I was ready to go. I worked with Luke Harper, tremendous talent, great performer, great character. It's actually pretty funny though, because my music hit and I was going out to do a little bit of a promo and then Luke interrupted me and I was walking up the, when you do a house show, sorry, live event. That's the proper vernacular. There's a curtain in the back and you walk through the curtain and there's kind of a corridor that's made out of curtains. You walk up the stairs and there's like a big black wall there. And that's the Tron. When you walk out in front of that wall, your video is playing and the music is starting and that's when all the people are cheering and they can see you. So I walked up the steps and I couldn't figure out which side to walk out to get on stage because there was just two curtains that basically went right up into the wall. And then there was no real direction or dictation as to which way we were supposed to go. So when I opened the one curtain to go to the left, there was just another wall there. Then I opened the other curtain to go to the right, and it just looked like there was kind of a drop-off, like the stage ended. And I was like, how the hell am I supposed to get around this Tron to make my entrance? And of course, it's black. You know, there's a blackout, break the walls down starts, and I go out there with my jacket and I turn it on, and then you know everybody sees it and oohs and ahs about how cool I am. So it literally, I kept going back and forth like a duck in a shooting gallery. Like, is it left? No, there's a wall. Is it right? No, there's a drop off. Is it left? No, there's a wall. Is it right? No, there's a drop off. I was lost. I couldn't find my way out to the stage. It was like Spinal Tap or a recall of my famous bit in WCW when I got lost at the arena and I couldn't find my way to the ring. Well, now I knew how to get to the ring, but I couldn't find how to get to the stage. And I finally decided, like, if I take a right, then I realized that I did have to go right. And you kind of had to do like a quick little U-turn on that before you hit the drop off to get around to the stage. And Arn Anderson was just starting to come over to tell me, like, hey, you stupid son of a bitch, you go this way. And it's funny because I was thinking the whole time, I hope Arn doesn't see me, because of all the people you don't want to see that you're screwing up and basically lost behind the stage is Double A, as we call him. And of course, he's the first guy that saw me and was laughing his ass off. And when I finally realized that that was the way I was supposed to go, of course, I'm laughing at him. I'm laughing at myself. And thank goodness I have my back to the crowd, because as I turn the jacket on and put my arms up beside me in the classic Jericho pose, I'm laughing, like just howling, because I can't believe how stupid I am that I couldn't find my way to the stage, to the ring. So yeah, been doing this for almost 25 years and still not completely sure how to get to the ring. Great, right? So then I go to the ring and Harper interrupts me. And then, of course, the first bump, I think I beat him up for a bit and I shoot him in the corner and I tell him, you know, come back out and give me a clothesline. And I'm charging him. He comes out and gives me a clothesline. And, you know, you take the bump and it's like, oh my goodness. It's like getting hit with a ton of bricks. You know, that first bump is like having a bucket of cold water thrown into your face. Like, remember the ice bucket challenge that was going on in the summer? That's what it feels like. It's like, hey, I'm Chris Jericho. Whoosh, ah, oh my goodness. It brings you back to life and brings you up to snuff pretty quickly, that remembering that, hey man, you're in the ring now, you're having a match. So we had the match and it worked out pretty good. It was a lot of fun and the crowd responded great. That's one good thing about kind of coming and going like I do when people see me. They're really excited because it doesn't happen every day, especially now. I think a lot of people know that this is the shows that I'm doing. You know, it's the winter tour and there won't be any shows after this for a long time. So so funny, because when it's done and, you know, you read some reports or people are sending you some reports that, you know, this match was called a great match and it was the show stealer and it's exactly what the WWE needs. And I mean, come on. I mean, it was a good match. It was a good match for Montgomery, Alabama on a Saturday night. And I think Cena and Rollins went out there and did 25 minute street fight and just tore the house down, doing AAs through the table and, you know, from the top rope through the table. And it's like, it was just the best match on the show. But because people haven't seen me for a while, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So therefore, Jericho's the savior of the WWE and had the best match on the show, which I thought it was a good match. It was a fun match. I'm glad people enjoyed it. Was it the best match on the show? Hey, if you think so, more power to you. I might not agree with you on that. And then the next night was in Mobile, which was fun. Had another great show there. And a smaller crowd, but that's the thing. You know, sometimes there's big crowds and sometimes there's smaller crowds. And it's the same with Fozzy too. And sometimes if there's a smaller crowd, people go, wow, how is it working in a smaller venue in comparison to the WWE? It's like, WWE's not always you know, sold out either. Some nights there's smaller crowds there, and it doesn't matter. All that matters is the reactions that people are giving you and what kind of a vibe you can have with them, what kind of a connection you can make with them. That's always important as well. It's all about the connections. That's actually the most important thing when you're wrestling. And that's one of my favorite things is after doing this for such a long time, I always have a great connection with the fans, and it's always cool to be out in the ring, and I'm really excited to be back. Montgomery, Mobile, thank you so much. And once again, like I said, I'm excited to be in St. Louis tonight and then Las Vegas on Saturday and then Houston on Sunday. So if you are in the premises, come on down and check out Chris Jericho and come check out the matches that I'm having with Luke Harper. I was sad that Mark Henry was not there. So in honor of Mark Henry, you know what you're going to hear. Somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Somebody's going to get their wig split. Somebody's going to get their ass kicked. Somebody's going to get their wig split. Break him up, bring him up, break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, break his neck. Neck. Woo! All right. Thanks for being here on a Friday. We got the Usos coming up, my good buddies Jimmy and Jay, the tag team champions. Who else is going to give you the tag team champions? Who else is going to give you Lemmy? Who else is going to give you Hulk Hogan? So many great guests right here on Talk is Jericho, and Jimmy and Jay are just a couple more great guests to come up right away. First,
the longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
All right, we're backstage here in the Calgary Saddle Dome. I'm hanging out with the Usos, Jimmy and Jay.
The Utsies.
Now, for people that don't know, Uso means...
Uso means brother.
Brother, yeah, in Samoan?
Yeah, in Samoan, okay. But Uso is just, you know, short, you know.
And so. That was always the nickname. Anybody from, like, you know, the Samoan family would call their friends Uso.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I first started hearing this from Eki, from Umaga.
Yeah.
And he would always say, Uso. And one time, when Triple H was still wrestling, misunderstood what he said and thought the word was oots. So that's why I'd always call, hey, oots, you know, yeah. Like kind of like a, you know, kind of like a joke on H, because he screwed it up.
Yeah.
And that's why I always call you guys oots. You, I don't know if you even knew that story.
Yeah.
Hey, oots, what's up, oots? And that's, he's funny, trying to fit in with the gang. We're like, it's oots. So, I mean, you guys come from a big family of wrestlers, and not just, I mean, your father, Rikishi.
No. Yeah.
And tell us, kind of, it's funny because all Samoan guys are related in one way or another.
Yeah.
But you guys have a huge family. So tell us about some of the other cousins and brothers and relations that you have.
Yeah, most of the time, like we said this before, Chris, like, you know, like all Samoans are related, but like us and the wrestling family, like, we're blood related.
You really are related.
Yeah. I think for sure it starts off with,
trying not to get lost. Trying not to get lost.
No, sometimes they'll lay the family tree in front of us, man, and it's like, damn.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
But it started like Peter Maivia.
So he's an actual blood relation.
Yeah, he's related to my Uncle Seeker's side, my dad's side. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so starts off
my
with...
My dad knows, the Wild Samoans, man, there's pictures of, we sing with Rocky and Pops, Eki, Tonga Kid, all small, all little with my grandma, like, there, like these old pictures, man, it's a real trip.
So your grandma is, what's your grandma's name again?
Grandma's Elevere.
Elevere, okay. Yeah. But is that Peter's wife?
No, that's
what's her name?
That's my dad's mom.
Okay.
Peter's, Atta. Atta.
Well, that's Rocky's mom.
Yeah, it's Rocky's mom. Yeah.
Leah Maivia, that's what I was trying to think. She was Peter's wife, right, Leah? She ran the Hawaiian territory for a while. I don't know, there's a long, so it's High Chief Peter.
And then Wild Samoans.
Right.
Alpha and Sika. And then those are my dad, Tonga Kid, Yokozuna, Umaga. That's their uncles. So they're the uncles of, those guys. And then it comes down to us, Roman,
Roman's like your blood cousin?
Yeah, that's Sika's son.
Okay.
So then Afa Jr., Manu.
He was here for a while, right, Manu?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Rosie, he's Roman's brother.
Roman's brother. Yeah.
Jamal, yeah, the three-minute warning. Him and Ecky was the tag.
That's right, the three-minute warning. I forgot about that, too.
Man, you gave him a shout-out on Raw, too, not too long ago.
I did.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. We're three-minute warning.
I was trying to think of another number. It was a five-second pose and a three-minute warning.
Yeah. Then it's – yeah, I think we're the last ones, though, man. Chris, but, man, there's so many the little young Usos under us, like our cousins, man. It's gonna keep going. I know it's gonna keep going.
Yeah, they're bad too, man. They're crazy.
Well, here's something that I'll say. I've never met a Samoan wrestler that wasn't good. And maybe sometimes they got a little bit crazy or got gained some weight or something. But at one point, every Samoan guy that's in the business is. I remember Big Sam.
Yeah,
just amazing, amazing, amazing. And Little Sam, and then even kind of the cousins from Tonga. I mean, I came in through the business with King Haku.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with Tonga, he took me under his wing right off the bat.
He's a badass too.
Badass, but also the nicest guys until starts having some drinks, and then it all falls apart, right?
Man, I always hear about those stories. Even my dad and the Wild Samoans, and I never because we don't see that side of them, you know.
But, yeah,
dude, man, all the old cats, like, man, you don't know.
I remember being in Mexico in '93, and I had just gotten there, and through Tonga met Big Sam, who I can't remember what they were wrestling. Maybe they were a Samoan SWAT team at the time. And something went down with a promoter, and Sam had some drinks, and it was on the top of a roof. And I saw this with my own eyes. It's holding the guy by his leg over the roof. You better pay me, brother. You better pulled him back on. It was just for a couple minutes. He had him locked in, too.
like a movie?
Like a movie. It's like you hear those stories about, like, Suge Knight holding somebody over the balcony. Big Sam did it in Mexico City with some little goofy promoter.
What interest? Man, try that today.
Yeah, exactly. Things have changed, right? Yeah. So, and you also blood-related to The Rock then as well?
The Rock is, we're not blood related, but like him and he's on my Uncle Alpha's side.
Okay.
Somewhere down there. I know my grandma Elavira used to take care of Rocky, and it's just the pictures are only like proof that we have, you know. It's like, man, what the hell? He's like, I told you.
But so obviously you guys, maybe not obviously, but did you always want to get into the business even when you were kids?
Yeah, I think
was it kind of always in your destiny?
Yeah, we was bred to do it. We didn't even know we wanted to do it.
Man, Chris, to be honest, when we was young, man, like, we're watching Pops wrestle. Like, we didn't look at wrestling like, man, I want to wrestle. We just looked at, saw my dad. You know, we just wanted to see our dad, you know. And, like, at the time, man, I remember, like, you know, Z-Man and, like, Brian Pillman and, like, all the OGs, man. And we're sitting there, like, we know these guys by heart. Like, we're, like, 5, 6 years old, man, and now we're at this age now, and we're with the younger talent. Like, some of the guys honestly don't know who those guys are.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And to our advantage, man, like, I was like, hell yeah, we remember those guys, you know? And, you know, it's very proud of that.
It's interesting how there's so many second generation and third generation guys on the roster right now.
Yeah.
And those guys are always a little better because I think they grew up in the business. You guys kind of understood psychology maybe without even understanding it because you're always watching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you see that between, I mean, Orton is here now and Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas and, you know, those guys, Cody and Dustin, they've just got a different way of thinking because you kind of grew up with it as second nature.
Yeah,
you know?
Proud to, you know, just to be a big part of our lives and, like, live through it and just to see the struggle as, like, now that we're older and we're in the business, like, at the time, we didn't see it, you know. But now, just where my dad and how my mom was just, you know, just trying to raise. Even, like, I bet all the other generation wrestlers have the same, story,
thing.
You know.
Childhood,
the same
story. Childhood. Miss baseball games, first days of classes, all that. Now that we got families ourselves.
You guys understand it, right?
Yeah. Because
you both have
special
children.
To share, yeah. I feel like that's a special bond between all of us that we can all relate to, man. You know?
That's why it is like a big family when you're on the road because, you know, we understand, and no one else understands. I mean, you can tell your wife about it or tell your friends or your cousins, but unless you're in the business, you don't understand the sacrifice that we have to make on a daily basis. Like you said, just not being home. My son is out water skiing today. He just started last week, and I'm not there. Yeah. You know, I want to see it. I should be there, but I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that for all of us. How old are your children?
Oh, my daughter is 6 and my son's 8.
8.
Yeah, my son will be 8 next month. So.
And how about you?
8 and a 2-year-old, two boys.
Wow.
And I brought him on the road with me last week. He was with us with the, like, 5 shows in a row. He was burnt out
there. It's hard, right?
Yeah. But I loved it, man. It was, you know, get good time.
Sure.
All the boys are like, man, you one of the boys now, man.
Did you used to do that with your dad when you were kids?
Not
it
much.
It was 4 of us, man. There's no way my dad was going to take us.
Oh, you have a couple other brothers, too?
Yeah, we got 2 younger brothers.
Oh, yeah. Sure. There's like eight of us, Chris.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Man.
There's 4 of us from my dad and my
still
mom.
Going.
And my dad has, there's like 9 of us all together.
Oh,
we have one older sister. She's the oldest out of 8 brothers.
Wow. So you didn't really get a chance to go on the road too much, but you always watched.
Yeah, we always watched.
Because of school.
Mom's didn't play. Mm-hmm. She was sports. Like, no, the boys got school and they got practice. So that was some mom's main thing.
Right.
You know?
Well, because Junior is the nickname of your dad, Rikishi, but he had... many
Junebug.
Different gimmicks. Junebug, yeah. He had a lot of different gimmicks. He was one of those guys, once again, because he was so talented as a big man. Always had a job here until finally the Rikishi gig happened, and that was the one that really catapulted him to the main event status.
Yeah, I remember when
was
Pops came home. And
Was he really?
Yeah, he came on with these two louds. He had this one character who was Rikishi who had the underwear on, and he had another one. Remember, he had like a big Hawaiian shirt on?
Yeah, something
weird. Like, his name was supposed to be Samoan Joe or something.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's like, which one you guys like? And we liked the shirt because we thought it was going to look funny with him in the underwear, but he picked the underwear.
Which was like a sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
He asked us before he did it. He was like, hey, would you guys be embarrassed of me? And we was like, hell no, man. Like, man, no, Dad, dude, let's do it, you know? And then he came home, bleached his hair. He's like, what would a sumo wrestler like wouldn't look like, you know, a dancing blonde, you know? But I set it off, man.
It wasn't just a sumo wrestler. It was kind of a modern-day sumo thing. But he kind of morphed it into kind of a street character, too, you know?
Yeah.
Remember he had the fat wear that he used to wear.
P-H-A-T.
I wanted the outfit, one of those outfits, too.
I actually gave him that name. I gave him 2 things. I don't know if you guys know this.
Cool.
I gave,
no,
he
we
was,
don't.
He was Rikishi Fatu. That was his name. And I had him. Suggested that they change it to P-H-A-T-U because it's fat. You know,
fat. Like,
and then the other one was the stink face. That was my name that I gave him.
For real.
There's a movie called Mallrats, and in the movie, the guy, he's meeting like his girlfriend's dad. He doesn't like him. So he gives him the stink palm where he sticks his hand down his ass then he puts a pretzel in it and gives it to the guy, and the guy like takes it and eats it and gets sick.
Yeah.
He's like, I got him with the stink palm. So Rikishi, as you know, he would come and put his butt in your face and wiggle it. And I was like, dude, you should call that the stink face. And there you go. It got over.
How was it, Chris?
You
remember it?
I tell you what, I remember it well. I took it every night for about 6 months we worked. But I loved working with your dad, man. Same like I love working with Tom. I never got to work with Yoko or even Big Sam or Little Sam, but just looked like it was killing you, or Eki too. So light.
Yeah.
It was like a dream if you saw yourself on the board against those guys. You know, and I haven't worked with you guys yet, but from watching you guys, I mean, you guys have the same, I mean, super kicks every match 3-4 times, and they all look like they're just tearing guys' heads off, and the Samoan drops. And I mean, it's just something that's in your blood. It's amazing.
Yeah, man. It's fun, man. We haven't had this much fun in a long time, man. It's been a great. It's fun. It's been fun.
I remember Chris. Remember when we first came on the road? Marlon was like, "I ain't never met no Samoan that couldn't work. Let's let it not be the first." And then
we're like,
"Oh man!" Arn Anderson said
that. Yeah.
Like, What do we do?
Well, because when did you guys come in? Was it 2 years ago?
Almost 5.
Yeah, 2009.
Well, tell us a little about that. When did you guys decide, like, okay, we want to go out and start wrestling?
This is the bread and butter, like the real story of how we really got into wrestling, Chris. We used to do.
Yeah, we never really get to tell the story, so this is cool.
Here's your chance, man. Yeah. Live, cool. Exclusive.
Yeah.
Talk is Jerry.
Yeah, but we was installing office furniture. Us three in Roman.
Wow, in Pensacola.
Yeah,
Pensacola. All 3 of you guys.
Yeah, same job all together.
Man,
are you guys pretty much the same age?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just sitting there, just a regular like 9 to 5. We had kids. You know, and then, man, Usa's like pushing like 300 pounds, And I was like you close to Jimmy.
Wow.
270.
We just partied. Like we went to work 9 to 5s, came home.
Just drinking, like just days are just going by. So we're in a bar. We used to go to this bar all the time called Boomers, man, Pensacola. So we're sitting there and me and Lucy getting hammered. All of a sudden,
it's like 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right between us, Ecky just grabs us, boom, and we turn
just
around.
Just out of nowhere?
Yeah. Out of nowhere, 2 in the morning.
He lives in Houston at this, so we didn't even know he was in Pensacola. Wow. Yeah. He moved to Houston already.
So he, like, cuts his huge promo on us, man. He's like, man, the hell with you guys? Like, you guys just sitting here getting all fat. He's like, look at you. Y'all want to stay here and not do nothing with your lives? You guys got too much talent to be sitting here getting all. And then he goes, man, you guys need to come with me. And he never talked to us like, F you. You know what
right.
I mean?
He was pissed off.
Yeah, he's like, if you mother... Look, you know, come with me tonight. He's like, F you. I ain't never coming back. And so we're sitting here. He's like, make it. What do you want to do? And we're sitting there like on the dime, like.
Still in our work clothes. Yeah. Mm. Didn't even go home yet.
We're kind of buzzing. Like, oh, yeah. He's like, all right. So he just grabs us, throws us in the car.
He calls our boss right on the spot.
Yeah.
He's like, give me the boss number. And he calls the number. He got some speakerphone. He's like, tell him. He's like, go ahead, tell him. He's like, hey. Boss, man, we ain't coming in. We quit.
All three of you at once?
Just me and brother at first. He's like, man, we quit. We can't come in. He's like, what do you mean? It's work that starts at 6 in the morning. What am I going to do with 2 guys down? And then so,
He takes us. He takes us back to our apartments. We live right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. Our wives, our girls are there with our kids. So he comes in there. We have a meeting. Like, he sits everyone down, and he's like, hey, I'm taking the twins.
Just had our babies. They just had my
just
oldest
had
son.
Our kids.
We just had our kids, yeah.
I'm taking the kids. I mean, I'm taking the boys. We're going to go train. We pack one bag. He gives our family money. Like, it was like maybe $500 each. And that night, we drive off to Houston.
He's like, I'm taking them to Houston right now.
Pensacola, Houston, in the middle
like
of the night.
It's like
10
hours.
Yeah,
it's like 10 hours. Wow. And we drove. We drove them all the way to Houston and lived with them for like a year.
So he brought you to Houston to live with them.
Yeah, to train.
And to train with him?
With him and Booker. Booker T.
Booker's
lives in
place.
Houston.
Gotcha.
So Booker let us use his ring. And him and Booker taught us the right way to technique, like headlock takeover. Like, we knew how to do them, but we didn't know how to do them.
Right.
So we trained for a year. Booker let us run shows.
It was every night. Like, our whole schedule would just be, Ecky would go do his normal thing, come home, but we would just be in the gym. In the gym in the morning, and then at night we go
train
to Booker's.
Every day.
And just for like a year and a half straight, boom, 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 boom.
Because you got
boom,
them
boom.
Samoan genetics. Like you said, 300 pounds.
Yeah,
that's naturally big guys.
No, I was like sloppy, like getting.
What do you weigh now?
Like, I'm 250 now. When I got signed, I was 230. I lost like 70
pounds. Yeah. Wow, so you guys had never even worked or anything. Ecky was just coming to get you, and it's time to get your ass in line.
Yeah. We did a little bit of the whole time we was down there. We was doing indies, though, for maybe a whole year and a half. But
but my dad, he'll just throw us in there. He's like, hey, I need a match. Twins, get in there. And his first match was against me. Mm-hmm. So when it's funny, when I walked out, people's like, yeah. When he walks out, they're like, whoa, what the hell? Is there two of them in there? Walk, what the hell?
We just
on?
Work each other.
Let's talk about that for a second. I have twins as well, twin daughters that just turned 8. How was it growing up as twins?
One time we tried to switch classes one time.
Did you? Yeah.
Try to.
Failed my damn test.
Because I wrote my name on there. My name on there. And we got caught. They called my mom.
Uh-huh.
My dad wasn't so hot. It was my mom that was the one we were scared of. Yeah.
Well, the moms always have to be the voice of reason in these type of relationships with lunatics like us. Yeah. You know, thank goodness we have good wives that are smarter than us or we never get anywhere. Yeah. Did you guys ever switch girlfriends or anything like that?
I did one thing on freshman year. He's with his. You've been with your girl for a while now. Your wife now since freshman.
Since 13. This is actually your wife now.
Yeah. So
she
high
tells
school.
Story,
yeah, too. Yeah. So I knew they was talking. Like the first day, I saw them down the hall talking. So I knew they was together. I saw a little kiss and a hug. I was like, well, all right. So after the class, I had the next door class that I walked up to. I was like, hey, I know we just started together and everything, but I don't think this is gonna work out. She just looked at me. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I totally thought this was the right way to go. It's not. And I just left.
Oh, man.
Crushing,
but
man.
You didn't tell him?
Girl, I don't know what the hell. I'm gone.
He walked up to her like the end of the day. And, man, it was funny, man.
She
was
what did she say to you?
No, she was just – she's like, this dude is crazy. What's wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you?
And so, would you come after him? Did you give him a little smack?
What the hell did you do, man?
I caught him. I was like, hey, it was me. I was just messing with
he
you.
He broke the ice, man. I was like, well, you got to let me know if you're going to – let me in on a damn trick.
Well, it's funny, though. We've been cool for that moment, we've just been like brother and sister ever since then. Like,
that's cool. Yeah, that was so kind of fun. The initiation.
Yeah, yeah, it was right? It right there.
But, you know, I noticed, I mean, with my twins, obviously you grew up together. They're each other's best friends, but we split them up in school a couple of years ago to make sure they had their own thing going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Separate schools?
Same school, but separate classes.
Okay.
So they have their own friends, and then at home they're playing together all the time, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. Because I noticed with my daughters that one might take to, let's say, math quicker, so she would always answer her sister's questions when her sister didn't know. Did you guys have any? Were you guys together in the class all the time?
No, we was actually in separate classes. Okay. Like, I guess, yeah, we was in separate classes
smart
all the time.
To do
yeah,
that. Right. Yeah, exactly. But then, so you came back, we started working together. I mean, that's a bonus that you guys are not only brothers but twins. You can see that in the ring. You have real good chemistry,
yeah.
As far as like really good timing. Not last night, but good timing. doing things that the same time and the synchronicity is there. Is that just something that you worked on, or is that just a natural thing?
No, it's natural, Chris.
It
like,
is, right?
We can honestly, man, we can do the same move and just like look at each other and not say a word, but like we can just tag and know what double team's coming or like when to go. Like we throw the same motion, move the same. It's a twin thing. It's really, really a twin
yeah,
thing.
Your
man.
Girls are having
it. Yeah. It's a real thing though, right?
Yeah,
you have a connection.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll talk and like
say the
same
thing.
Sentence. Or yeah. Finish each other's sentence.
That's interesting.
You probably catch your daughters doing it when they get older. But
what I do notice is sometimes, and this is really freaky, I go and check on them when they're sleeping, and they'll both be sleeping the same way. Like same left arm up, right arm down, head to the left. And it's like, how does that happen?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There's a connection, right? You know? So when you guys, after you trained for a year, you said, or a year and a half, how did you finally end up making the jump to go to the WWE?
Well, Iggy, every time he'd be like, you guys ready yet? And every time we like, we'll look at each other like, nah. Mm-hmm. But until one day, man, until he was like, hey, you guys ready? He was like, yeah, we ready. We ready to go. He was like, you sure? I'm like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess, you know, we even asked Book, you know, is it, you know, because, you know, Book's been around for a mm-hmm. while. And he was like, yeah, man, you guys, I don't see why not. You guys should go. So then we came down. We did a tryout. And then 3 months later.
Yeah, this is a little. Yeah, Chris, like we did SmackDown, like had a little tryout like twice, and we just bombed it. Like,
oh,
to where
in front
was,
of Michaels
out of the ring.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And Taker.
Taker was like, still working.
They kicked us out the ring.
No kidding.
Yeah. I remember the exact spot was.
The exact spot was tackle drop down and then grab the headlock.
Get it again.
Yeah.
Tackle
that
drop down.
It.
Get it again. Yeah.
That was it. And we did a tackle, and it was like running like. About to hop over the guy,
right? Uh-huh.
And then but we hit the rope and got so lost. And
it was just kicked us out. The lead up to that day though, we was pretty hyped, and then like we just got buried, man, and like we cried like at the end, man, because it was like,
yeah,
you know, they're not gonna sign
were
us.
Were you working together against each other?
No, we was a team. Yeah. And Eki was like, you know, like he was hurt too, man. He's like, man, get out of the ring. Yeah. So like twice that happened.
That happened again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you guys lucky that you got another try.
Right? And then that's why we were so heavy on, are you guys ready? You're like, yeah, we ready. You know, then we went in there and killed it. Then, you know, they offered us the deal at FCW. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where shit gets crazy because they took my brother. They didn't take me because my knee was messed up.
Oh.
So I sat at home for like 6 months, man.
Wow.
And it hurt because I saw him on FCW like,
yeah,
like just, you know, tearing it
YouTube
up.
YouTube and yeah, I was like, bro, check out the YouTube. Like, I'm on there. Like, cause it was our first time ever. I'm like, look, man, check it out, man.
And you got to wait at home with a bad
wheel. Yeah, man, I had to go
wheel.
Back to my regular job and work to pay my surgery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, he had to work to pay his surgery.
So, you got hurt in the ring before you signed with WWE?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so they weren't gonna help you out on that
man.
One.
They weren't. You know, man, the day I remember the day clear, man. The day I got my surgery, I kicked out after I came out of the.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital, man, I called and I was like, hey, I got it, you know. Send me my stuff.
Here I come.
I was there. And I was the whole time I'm going through this spill, I'm with Roman Reigns the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're sitting there talking, and he knows our story. As soon as I left, you know, he told me, he's like, bro, I'm going to be right behind you, you know what I mean? So
he's ready to go into.
We went, and then we got on a debuted, and then that's when Roman got signed.
Oh,
coming in,
okay.
Right when we debuted, he came in FCW.
Because Roman played football up in Edmonton, I believe, right?
Yeah, he did. He was here for a while.
But that was after that. Then he came back home, and then he's not doing anything.
Yeah,
seeing his boys get in there.
Yeah, that's when that's where he came back to work with me. The time I was paying my surgery off, he came back from Canada. So now we're together. And he was gone.
Yeah.
So the whole time we're just
you're thinking,
man, we got to do this, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hanging out with the Ooses, Jimmy and Jay.
The Ootsies.
What was your name back then in FCW?
Jimmy Uso.
It was Jimmy Uso.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Cool. And I had Jules Uso.
Jules.
So Monday I'm about to debut.
Yeah,
Your name is Michael Uso. Michael.
Michael.
Michael Uso and Jimmy Uso. That was the first name.
Yeah, Chris. The whole time I'm cutting over going to my promo.
Michael Uso.
As soon as I walk out through the curtain, he's like, "Hey, your name is Jay.
Your name is Jay.
Jay.
Like, you didn't even know until you walked out.
So on the promo, I'm like, all right, make sure I'm Jay. You know,
I love it. It's like the most non-Samoan name ever, Michael.
Michael. What about Jimmy? You tell me Jimmy. I was like, Jimmy. What the hell is Jimmy?
What's your real name? Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
And how about you?
Joshua.
But no one calls you. Like I asked somebody the other day, and they're like, we don't even know what their real names are.
It's
Jimmy
and Jay. Oos, man.
Oos, right? Exactly. Oos. Yeah.
I call them too. If I forgot the name, Oos. Hey, what's up?
But that was the debut on Raw with Tamina Snuka, right? With Jimmy's daughter.
Yeah.
And you guys were like a trio.
And she came in like 2 months right in FCW, and they just put her with us.
Mm.
And then we came up together.
Yeah. I was down there for 6 months, but I knew once Oos got down there, I knew he was going to go up, man, because I just felt it. I was like, man, once he gets here, he's going to catch on quick. He caught on. And then, he was there for like 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months.
And they was talking about bringing us up. And then Tamina walked in.
Mm.
And she was there for like a month. And they was like, hey, put her with these guys.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty cool. First night was all three of you guys. I remember you did a promo, which was pretty good from what I recall. And then you guys did a splash, a three-way splash off the top rope, right?
Yeah, same time. Yeah, that's cool. We hit that same, landed at the same time.
Were you guys nervous?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Man,
what?
The timing of it too with Tamina. And,
yeah.
She's not your family. She's not related, is she?
No.
Or kind of. Or
no. She's been around the family though.
So that's kind of a like extended family.
Right? Yeah.
I remember Vince. I was talking to Vince about something. He goes, "Come here, I want to show you something." And I said, "Okay." And we walked down to the ringside and to watch you guys practice this three-way splash. I don't remember on who it was on.
Yeah. It was on the Hard Dynasty.
Heart Dynasty.
Yeah, they actually laid there too.
Yeah,
I'm surprised we didn't do it on the locals, guys.
Yeah, no. He goes, "Come here, I want you to see this." And you guys all jumped. He goes, "What do you think?" I'm like, "That's." He goes, "That's amazing. It's impressive. Look at the timing." I said, "Yeah, it's pretty damn cool, man."
So
he brought me out just to show me his new toys. You know,
we haven't heard of you. We haven't heard about that until now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
cool,
man. Yeah. Because then you guys came, and then the typical story in the WWE, you worked a little bit, but not really too much when you first came in, I remember.
Nah, man, we was on TV we was in there for like 2 months at the most.
Mm-hmm.
But then
we just sat still, man. But we never stayed positive, man, like we should, and we just kept banging in the ring, just showed out in the ring every time. We was on Superstars a lot, but Superstars gave you a lot of time, though, man. So
I like Superstars.
Yeah,
man.
We were shining on Superstars, and
see, and that's the smart way to do it. You have to look at it that way. Is you're getting some good time for the matches. I mean, Raw sometimes, as you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. It's hard to have a match, but Superstars would be 10, 12, 15.
Yeah,
for young guys, not just learning. Being in the WWE, the pressure of that, there's a WWE style, and also how do you work on TV?
Right,
it's a different world, right?
Yeah.
So that helped give you a little bit of.
It's crazy because coming up from FCW, we had to relearn.
Yeah. Yeah,
you got to relearn your stuff, you know.
Right. So.
They didn't teach you about like the cameras or which way to work or you know how to like really, you know, give it a break after you do some, let them digest everything.
Yeah.
So we learned that from the older guys up here. So
that's interesting. They didn't teach you about that because that's as you know the most important thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Camera. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I like to learn. We caught on quick up here, man. I mean, I remember our first matches with Goldie and Mark Henry.
Uh-huh.
Ever up here.
I was scared.
I was like, what the?
Interesting. Like, man, I watched these guys growing up. Like, man, now we're in here with these guys, so it was pretty cool.
Well, were you marking out a little bit as a fan when you came in?
Hell yeah. Oh, it was looking good with us. Hey, man, make sure you bump your ass off for Mark, man, for real, man. It's going to be cool.
I remember the first time I walked in the dressing room, it was in WCW in Palmetto, Florida, the first Nitro I ever did. And I walked in the dressing room, put my bag down. There was Sting, Luger, Flair, Anderson, Macho Man, and Hogan was walking out, and me. And I was like for 2 or 3 seconds, just like, oh, yeah. And then it's like, can I be professional?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Well, how are you? But, yeah. I mean, it's such a thrill when you come in. Man, you're now just here, you know?
You named off that locker room. Like,
yeah, it's scary. I can walk in that locker room.
And it was a mistake, too. I, like, opened the wrong door, and I was like, oh. And then they're all looking stairs. So what am I going to do? I got to say hi. But so you guys were off for a couple months, or after a couple months, then you were off for a while.
A couple years.
A couple years, right? Yeah.
Like 2 years just in limbo.
I was almost wondering, like, maybe this is it. Like, maybe you guys won't be around. Like, I never saw you.
We was thinking that, too.
So what finally got you back on the show again?
Yeah. I think, you know what? Like, I think what really opened the eyes is what do you think? The Money in the Bank, like our first big against match against the Shield.
Then we went against the Shield, a kickoff. We had like 25 minutes.
I remember that.
So, that's when they actually looked at us like, hey, man, you guys.
That was last year, right?
Yeah, actually 1 year. And a big change has happened in 1 year for
us. Well, absolutely. And I'm going to talk about that. But how did you guys get that gig against the Shield? They just needed a team?
They needed a babyface.
It was only babyface tag team at the time that could actually, with the Shield. That had something to do with, like, it was in a couple of matches with the Shield, but nothing. Mm-hmm. Only six mans. Never, like, get Sheamus back or Punk's back. And, that's how we got our kickoff.
It was on a kickoff.
And it was in Philly, man. You know how it is. Hill crowd.
Tough crowd.
So as soon as Shield came out, when we came out, they
blew the roof off.
Really?
When Shield came out, they popped huge. So we're in the ring, shook.
A little shook, Chris. Like, man, I was looking at him like, man,
these guys are rowdy.
Is this going to work? But it was high energy, man. But that match set it off, man. And then at the end of that match, like, the crowd was standing, man, and
even in Gorilla, man, we had a nice. Never had an applause coming in Gorilla. Like, people was like, shaking our hand, which was pretty cool because we never got that.
Was Vince there?
Yeah. So it was pretty.
Shake your hand?
Yeah, man, it was cool, man. He's like, be happy for this one. So that's when we was like, cool, man. Then now we're starting to go a little more.
I remember that match though. Like, that was one of those ones, like you said, you opened a lot of eyes, but you guys were ready for it because you'd been off for a while.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you only get one chance, right?
Yeah, we was hungry. Walked in the trainer's room and Mark Henry, I'll never forget this, man. He's like, I've been working here a long time. I've never seen no one go in there and get booed and then at the end, have a standing ovation, especially for
young guys,
and I'm just sitting there like,
he's like, I can only name many fingers on my hand how many people I saw do that. So man, that's pretty cool, man. Like,
and that I think might have been my last match for a while, and over the last year is when I started to just see you guys just tearing it up and just having great match after great match after great match with the Shield and I think with Dustin and Cody as well.
Yeah, those guys. And then
They had a magical combination with Daniel Bryan and you two guys, I think, against the Shield quite a bit.
And it was us and Christian. And then it kind of gave us a chance to now, like, work with the top guys, man, which helped us out a lot,
Well, yeah. But the thing is, you were ready for it. Even like, last night, for example, the main event, and you did it with Cena on all the house shows, you're coming out to even the odds. Yeah. I mean, you guys are legitimately in the main events now. I mean, how do you feel about that after all these years of working so hard? And
I always think about, like, it's a goal, man, because our family's been doing it. Everybody that's been and our family has been main event status,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, true.
And they'd always, 4 years, they'd always tell the Usos, like, man, what's taking y'all so long? Or, like, why you guys ain't there yet? We're sitting like, man, like, damn, we're trying. Like, we're trying. And so to be here now, to get the ball rolling, man, it's pretty cool, man. Like, it's really cool, man. It's really a honor to be in the main event status because we think about our family. Even you guys, you've worked with all our family over the years, man. John has worked with them. I mean, it's pretty cool, man.
It's but you guys earned it. I think that's why you have a lot of respect from the guys. You know what I mean? Like, from my end too, it's like, here's the little guys are growing up. And but like I said, like, here in Calgary, obviously the home of the Hart family, possibly the biggest family, but then you talk about your family, it's like it's not even close. I mean, you never, you always, like, there's so many of you guys and so many great performers and great workers. It was only a matter of time before you guys, you know, kind of busted loose, right?
Okay. I think the face paint actually helped a lot too, man.
Yeah, what was your mindset behind that? Because that was only about the last 6 months or so, right?
Yeah.
That was all just, that was a tribute to, you know,
Uncle Icky. Mm-hmm. Like, but we wanted to do something, like, we did it at a dark match.
We just went out there. We didn't tell nobody. We just went out there. We had a dark match, like opening dark match. So we just went out there with our face painted and done. And then Vince, like, the only thing Vince said was no black.
You know, he looked
bright
like
colors
a hero
from now on.
So okay.
He loved it though. He's like, that's the ideas I need. That's what I like. So and then it kicked off from there. You know, but
kids like it. Like, kids like it. So that's the main
thing. Great idea.
Yeah.
Just the half two is cool. You know, half and half.
Yeah, that's cool.
But let's talk a little bit more about Icky. Like, I had a real great relationship with him, man. He was one of my favorite people in the time that I knew him. And deeper than just, like, he knows some stuff. Like, I would tell him things, and he was a guy you could trust with stuff, you know. And I remember he left the WWE before he passed away. Did you guys know he was having some problems? Could you tell?
Yeah, I mean, we was with Uncle Icky the past 2 years of his – I mean, of course, growing up. But the past 2 years when we was there in Houston, like, we knew, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm pretty sure his kids knew, but we try to, like, fave his kids from, you know, when he was in his, you know, doing his thing. But, I mean, yeah, we knew, Chris, you know?
Yeah, it's you know, first of all.
We didn't know it was that bad when we was there, but when we was there, you know, we found out, like, fuck, you know.
Because I'm sure you guys know this, but from my end, he was going all the way here. Like, he did, but Vince was, like, he thought Icky was the shit.
You know what I mean?
And in a lot of ways he was. I mean, Yoko was great, but I think Icky was a little smaller and a little bit more agile. So, you know, and I remember when he passed away, because we were in Afghanistan on one of those tours.
Right.
And I remember talking to Vince about it, and he was real upset. Not in a, like, crying way, but he was like, you know, I tried. I tried. You know, because he did. I think the rule was, like, you come back, but you got to go through the rehab or whatever it was. And Icky just wasn't up for it. And I remember Vince was really, really, I don't know if touched is the word, but it hit everybody hard. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man.
And it must have been tough for you guys, too.
Yeah, it was more close to him than our dad. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was our go-to all the time, man. Mm-hmm. Like, everything. Like, he'd sign our report cards because they were bad, and not show mom, like, oh, sign this for me.
Really?
Yeah, stuff like that, man. So I had my first beer with him, like, you know, I was like 13
first
or 14.
First everything.
Yeah, so he showed me how to take a hickey off my neck, man. You know, with a spoon. Like, he showed me all little stuff like that.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I say. We always get emotional when we talk about Hulk, man, because, you know, for 100%, if it wasn't for him,
we wouldn't even be here,
sitting here.
Literally. Yeah. The story that you just
we
told.
We wouldn't even be here.
We was in FCW. We came into practice, man, and Dr. Tom pulled us in the office. He's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. And we're like, what? He's like, you didn't hear him? I was like, no. He was like, man, your uncle's in ICU. I was like, what? So that day, they just flew us to Houston. You know, we just signed.
I thought he was ripping because I was like, I just talked to him.
I just talked to him.
I was like, I just talked to him. And he was like, no, nah, man, I think you need to go. I was like,
so we went there, man. We went there. We flew there. We as soon as we got, we was too late, though, man. He passed away right when we got there.
Because he was kind of he had some kind of whatever the OD or whatever, and then was kind of alive for.
He was a vegetable by the time we got there.
For like a couple hours?
A couple hours,
not long. Yeah.
I remember Oscar told us that in Afghanistan, because with Rey Mysterio, and he were very close as well.
Oh, yeah, man. Him, yeah. Kiki, like that little Houston crew right there.
He's good dude, though, man. I had a lot of good times with him. And I'm in the ring, too, we had an elimination chamber once. Where the spot was, I was up against the chamber, and he was going to run and give me the ass attack, which was a lot different from the stink face. It was just running, smash. You guys do it.
Is that
a tribute to
Ed?
Yeah.
And they always say, Shades of Keisha. We're like, no, man, it's Umaga. Please say Umaga, man.
Yeah, he came right across and slammed into that thing and went right through the back of the glass. It was like just like amazing spot. And, of course, he was a little bit of an impact, but not from him. I don't know how he could do that. How he just run spot on. He was a big man.
Big ass, too. Yeah
just
he
run
did
in
it
there.
On Oost.
He did
just
on me
like
a couple
just sit
times.
There and just. And he just took off. Yeah. Boom. Even though Rikishi driver.
My
dad was trying to figure out how to finish, and he just put one of us on the shoulder, and he just
dropped. Oh, I was like, what the? You all right, twin?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. All right, man.
Yo, Uz took the leg drop from Yoko one time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. He was like, just lay there, man. I had to be like at least 8, not even 10 yet.
Yoko, man.
He was like, just lay there, don't move.
He just lines up in the corner. Like, he's just sitting in the corner.
And he walks up.
Like, walks up. Boom.
You're right. Now, he was your uncle?
Yeah, that's our uncle.
Let's talk about Yokozuna for a minute. Did you guys get a chance to get to know him?
Yeah. We grew up, yeah.
Great.
Him and dad and, Uncle Tonga Kid, they'll come home from their loop, right? And we'll be sleeping. They'll wake us up. They'll wake all of us up. Me, him, my brothers. Yoko had a daughter and a son. Oh, they'd wake us all up and make us dance.
Just dance. They put on Belvin DeVoe and like, here. Start
dancing. Belvin DeVoe.
And we start dancing, man. And it was funny.
Barbecue was a straight bar. I remember just barbecue. When dad, this is like when he was working in Puerto Rico. And,
okay.
And, man, they just come home and just fire the grill up, man. We just being there dancing. It would be coolers of beers.
Because Yoko is Junior's brother.
First cousin.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, I remember I was in Japan with Yoko in 94, and he was getting real big, but once again, just amazing work. Yep. And we went to Ribera, the famous steakhouse in Japan, and you sit on basically, it's kind of like a piece of, like a tree stump. And they had to get 3 tree stumps for him to sit down because he had a big ass. He was huge. And then he got in the ring with this guy, Tenru, who was our boss. And Tenru slammed him. And he's like, I'm going to. He's like, I want you to slam me, brother. And he's like, are you sure? I want you to slam me. Got up. Boom. It was wow. Like, you know, like he was probably 500 pounds or something
huge,
like that at
man.
That time.
Yeah.
You know, just another great guy.
Yeah. Remember him? When he sleep, he had to sit up. He couldn't lay down. That's how big he was.
He'd sit against the couch. Chris, he'd sit on the floor, and then he'd
lay out.
Back against the couch, and that's how he would sleep at home.
Wow.
And we would know. Dad would like, Uncle Rodney's coming home. So we'd get all the blankets and all the pillows and put it in the den. And like make him like a little bed on the floor where he just leaned back on the couch.
Wow, man.
He's snoring so loud though. So when you heard him stop snoring, you know, we'd have to get him, check him up. At least just like hit him. Like, Uncle, you all right? And
sure.
He'd be like, yeah. You know,
he'd be like, good.
Yeah. Well, he passed away early 2000?
Yeah, in Liverpool.
Liverpool? Just too big?
Yeah,
had a heart attack. Yeah.
He was getting up about, I think, last time I saw him, probably 600
six,
pounds.
Yeah, man, tipping
more.
6, yeah.
And this isn't wrestling exaggerations. This is legitimate 600 pounds, you know, and he can still. I mean, you guys have you probably feel like you have a responsibility to carry on the name of Becky and Rodney and your whole family. Do you look at it like that when you're out there? Like,
of course, man.
Yeah, man.
You feel this. Sometimes it gets to the little, and we've said this before, man. It gets a little intimidating sometimes because you got to look at like all the path that we're walking, man. And it's like, damn, you know, it's breathtaking a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
yeah. But even when we go out there though, with our paint, I feel like Icky's with us, and when we do our C Vital, it's like homage to all our family and our heritage. So it psychs us up. Like, man, I'm ready to throw down for it. Every, you know, all our people, you know, it's
and
pretty cool.
That's another thing that you guys have just started since I left and came back is the, when I was heard about it was called the haka. It's that's the war dance. I think that's the New Zealand version.
New Zealand, yeah.
What's that version called you guys do?
Sivatau, yeah.
And that's kind of the Samoan war
dance. Same thing, just the Samoan side.
It's a great entrance, man.
Yeah,
it's
thanks,
a great
man.
Entrance.
It fires me up,
And
man.
Then, you know, when we say Uz, you say, oh, I mean, all that stuff, you guys are understanding. People like to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are different and, you know, not just in the ring, but out. It's really important.
Cool, man. We're trying to still get it, too, man. Like, we're catching on slow, man, but we're getting there.
When did you suggest doing the Siva Kai?
Man, it was so funny, man. So we did it. We was at a house show, right?
Yeah.
And we wanted to try it. We asked Billy Kim, is it cool if we try this? And he's like, nah, like, it might be a little weird. So he's like, oh, all right. 6 months later. He comes up to us. He goes, hey, you remember that dance you guys asked me about a long time ago? I was like, no, because it's been like, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, the dance, your war dance. I was like, yeah. Okay, Vince wants to see you guys do it tonight. I'm like, what? Like, what?
Yeah. Wow.
We hit it, and Vince was like, hell yeah, you know. So.
But we were so off. We didn't do it right. And plus, we said we did the haka. So when we did it on SmackDown the first time, Vince watched us do it, rehearsed it. He said, next week, get it sharpened. Next week, we'll do it on TV. It's like, all right. So we went home. We got the moves down. But we was doing the New Zealand chant. which
and the Samoan people got
they like, buried us
they got really
they, yeah they buried even, us even bad. Though,
like the Samoan people the Samoan community they was like man
buried us these kayfabe Samoans
tweeting you or how did
yeah,
you find out
even like on
my
YouTube,
dad
yeah.
my dad called us and told us
social media but they're like man y'all you guys are Samoan yo
what y'all doing
why did you do the haka
because that's only
that's
we
the famous one
yeah haka yeah yeah
and so I was like all right damn. Now we got to do ours, but I mean, they're almost the same. But
like you said, though, the Samoans will see that.
Yeah,
you know,
it was really hot.
Even
though,
my mom was like, hey, you twins, you got twins?
You got Samoan twins. Like, yeah, you guys represent you guys for the Samoan people, too.
I'm sure Pat Patterson has told you this story, but obviously he was the big heel in San Francisco and worked quite a bit at the Cow Palace with Afa and Sika and got so much heat that there was a lot of Samoan fans in the crowd that would try and kill him. We'll try and stab Pat.
God, man.
Like, brandishing knives. Like, you know, you beat up our brother. We're going to get you, brother. And had to be, like, escorted out. And there was another time he had to get in, like, a crew case and get pushed out the back door. Jeez, like, man. Samoans are proud people, right?
Sorry, Pat.
Hey, speaking of Pat, Chris, man, Pat always gives us, like, dap and handshakes, man. But after Sunday, the Battlegrounds pay-per-view, man, Pat, when we came out to the Gorilla, he stood up in, like, a good, like, 5 minutes just shaking our hand, be like,
he knows,
you guys did great, you know, and I'm sitting there like,
yeah, man.
Thank you, you know, like,
Well, and the thing is with Pat and Vince, those guys don't give out free compliments, man.
Right.
You know, you get a compliment from those guys, it's real, because they don't believe me. I've been here long enough.
When
they say that, he means it. And I think, I mean, just talking to you guys from the relationship that I have with your family from a few years ago, once again, Pat had that relationship 35, 40 years
That's
ago.
Crazy.
And we feel proud of you guys for, like I said, carrying that name on because you've got such a great, like some of the nicest guys. Like I said, Eki, I still love him so much and think of all so many great times. And to see you guys coming up, it's like he's proud of you. I'm proud of you. Everybody in the business, you know.
It's
and Pat too, because it came through the system, you
right,
know.
Right.
It's and I was just thinking too, if you talk about the biggest families of all time in wrestling, Hart family. I don't think there's any Harts coming up. I mean, Natty is maybe the last for right now. Armstrong family, there's no Armstrongs coming up that I know of.
Right.
Guerrero family, I don't think there's any Guerreros. You guys are keeping the dynasty alive of your family. This could be the last one. Von Erichs. I think there might be a couple kids that are coming in, maybe. But you think about that, like,
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, it's interesting, huh? So you talked about the pay-per-view on Sunday with the Wyatt family. I mean, you guys have such amazing chemistry, and I was laughing. It was the best of 237. But I mean, how do you like working with those guys?
It's cool, man. Like those guys, they brought us up too, man. And it's funny because the Usos and the Red,
Rowan.
Yeah, he hasn't even been. He hasn't been doing this for a long time.
He's really. I mean, those guys have come on in the past year.
Like you guys have.
Yeah,
he stepped up.
He holds up his part.
He does, man. So working those guys is definitely, man. Chemistry is off the chain with them.
Have great matches, like just good matches with those guys, man. And my dad, man, he's like, man, y'all. Money. He's like, hell yeah, you know. After he called him after the paper, he's like, hell yeah, man. Ain't nobody gonna follow that. You know, I'm proud of you guys.
He's
you know?
Right.
That was one of our favorite matches right there, little Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I mean, they're big guys, too, so they're good bases for you.
Yeah.
You guys do.
Yeah.
But you guys are big guys, too, though. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Heavyweight 250, man. Yeah, man. I mean, 240, 250. That's pretty damn big, too.
It is, man. It was cool, man. We did a magazine interview for WWE, and they asked us, you guys are considered high flyers, but you're 250 and 240. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that? It's cool, man, to be considered high flying them. We're 250 pounds, man.
That's
just
right.
Flying everywhere. We're crazy, man.
I remember Too Cold Scorpio was like that. He was about your size.
Yeah.
And he could do amazing
Too
stuff.
There, yeah.
It's like, how can you do that being so big?
He's pretty tall, too, right?
Yeah, he's about a half inch taller than me, so probably about your guys' height. Big guy, too, though. Big legs. And he was all over jumping up and down and stuff, you know? So now you guys are obviously having a great time. Tag team champions, by the way.
Yeah.
Was this the first time?
First time.
I mean, how was that? I mean,
awesome, man. Never in a million years I didn't think we'd get it from the New Age Outlaws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, hell, we grew up watching them.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Them, man. Attitude Era, but I was, man.
That was cool.
I got a DVR on my. I still look at it back sometimes, just because the emotion after the match. We didn't go right to the titles.
Not even about the titles, man.
And we went straight to each other, man. And I remember.
After one, yeah.
We just sitting there telling each other, like, man, this is for Uncle Ecky, man. This is where it's at right here. Like, and then you know we're with each other. We're like grabbing each other, and then we get after we have our little spill, and then we get them, and then we grab the titles. And I always mention that. Explain. What you guys feeling? If you watch it, we never went to the titles. Like, yeah. It was 1, 2, 3 right to each other.
Ref was like, grab the titles.
Grab the titles right now. Yeah. Titles. But we're just like, yeah, man. Hold on, man. The titles are going to be there.
That
was
about your family.
Yeah. That was the first one. And man, it was real special, man. Very special. Because I feel like we bust our ass to get there, man. Like, it took a long time, man. And, you know, my dad, like my mom, everybody, man, phone was just blowing up.
Yeah.
Social media was blowing up, man. Like,
so those ones you get back to the dressing room, you got like 50 texts on your phone.
Yeah, you know.
That's always how you know you did something really good or really bad.
And we won it in Chicago, too. So, you know, Chicago's another
great city, hill. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Such a great town.
To hear their reaction, too, because, you know, they're smart, too. So yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, now you guys are getting over with them, too, with the fans, you know, excitement. You guys just had a show in Pensacola as well.
Yeah, man.
I know Roman was talking about how cool that was. That must have been fun for you guys.
Hell yeah. Man, we had all
teachers. We got on the nerves, coaches, friends, man. It was cool, man. I asked for 30. He asked for 30. Roman asked for 30. They was like, damn.
It's not worse. It's as bad as your dad used to do. I'm like, really? Like, damn, are you serious?
Yeah. I heard that Bret Hart asked for 100 tickets tonight. So
man.
Bad News Allen came here one time and I wanted 50. I was like, Bad News, you don't even work here. So I want 50. Tell Vince I want 50. He's like, am I just going to call Vince? Say, hey, Vince, we're at a house show. Bad News wants 50 tickets. He's like, you give him 50 tickets. Give him what he wants. Just don't have him beat anybody up.
You got family?
You got your 50.
I'm from Winnipeg, so down the road. But, yeah, I have a couple cousins here. My cousin's coming, a couple people. But, yeah, the hometown show is Winnipeg, and that's when, hey, remember me? I went to high school with you in one class. And you're like, hey, can I bring my son back? And you never want to be mean, but there's always, like, I have no idea who this guy is. But, hey, hey, son, you know. So
yeah, Uncle Eggie and Pops always used to say that. You know, he'd be like, man, once you guys get there, man, I'm telling you, your phone, people are going to be calling. You have no idea who they are.
But you always got to give them their moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always the way to do things, you know?
Yeah.
So last question. I think we already answered this, but I always like to ask, what's your favorite match that you've ever had since you've come here or in your whole career?
Here, all right, no lie. The no Battleground.
Lie. Yeah, it's probably the Battleground.
Two out of three.
Come on, man.
And specifically, this one reason only is because when we came in Gorilla, Vince stood up and he shook our hand and he told us this. He said, if tonight is the night that you guys should go in the locker room and tell everybody in the back, follow that.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have your permission? He's like, yes. I was like, no heat. He's like, no heat. Hell of a match. I was like, thanks, man. Thank you. Like, hell yeah.
Other than that, though, before that, it was Money in the Bank.
The kickoff.
Yeah, the kickoff.
The shield.
Yeah. And to do it with Roman, our cousin, you know, like, it's cool, man. It reminded us of my dad and Yoko and Uncle Big Sam.
Yeah.
When them and Owen Hart was going at it, man.
That's right, like, man. Yeah.
It's cool, you know.
No, that's cool. I saw you guys in the dressing room walking around telling everyone, follow that.
No,
follow
man.
That. Now I know why. He came up to me and said, follow that.
I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, ooties.
Guys, it's great to talk to you, man. And once again, proud of you guys. Congratulations. And keep the spirit alive of Ecky and then your whole family. You guys are doing an awesome job, man.
Thanks. Oots.
Oots. Oots.
Oots eat.
Thanks to the WWE Tag Team Champions, Jimmy and Jay, the Usos, Oots, the Ootsies. When I say Oots, you say, oh, Oots. Oots. Yeah, great guys. Very proud of them. Very dynamic to watch in the ring, too. Super exciting, explosive. And they were great today. And thanks to them for being here. Thanks to you for being here. If you haven't checked out some of the previous podcasts, you might want to do that. You like rock and roll? Lemmy is rock and roll. He gives a heavy metal tutorial on Talk is Jericho last episode. Plus, you got Hulk Hogan, the immortal Hulk Hogan, telling some of the greatest wrestling stories I've ever heard in my life. That was a two-parter featuring my crazy best friend, Speewee, who was cut out
route to be in show business. Plus, don't forget about Ryback, JBL. Paul Stanley was amazing as well. And plus, Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff a few weeks ago gave you a little taste, a little trailer of what's going to happen at the Great Debate on January 25th in Philadelphia at Dave & Buster's on Columbus Avenue. It's Pritchard versus Bischoff, head-to-head with Jericho moderating, talking about the Monday Night Wars, the pros and cons behind the Iron Curtain. It's the first time ever, and you know it's going to be great. That starts at 1 p.m. on January 25th. It's the day of the Royal Rumble, and this debate will be over. Plenty of time for you to make it to the Royal Rumble, and you can definitely go to both. You can also come check me out at a VIP signing at 10 a.m. earlier in the day in Philadelphia. So I want you to come on down and do that. It's the Royal Rumble weekend, January 25th in Philadelphia at Dave & Buster's on Columbus Avenue. Go to rfvideo.com for all tickets and all information for the Great Debate, Pritchard versus Bischoff with Jericho moderating. Hey, man, thanks to you guys once again for listening to this show, and thanks for shopping through my Amazon links. You know I appreciate it. Easiest way to support this show so I can keep doing this for you for free for twice a week. You know how to find my Amazon links. I know you do. You go to podcast1.com. You click on the Keep Our Podcast free banner at the top of the page. Then you click on Talk is Jericho. You'll see all three of my Amazon links, Amazon UK, Amazon USA, Amazon Canada A. Every time you do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show, so we keep doing this for you for free for twice a week. There's no extra fees or hidden challenges. You're just getting your shopping done. You're helping me out in the process. So that's it. Another great episode of Talk is Jericho. And in the meantime and in between time, I want you to stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. We'll see you next Wednesday for another amazingly huge guest. All right? Who's my three favorite bands of all time? Do you know? I'll tell you. It's the Beatles. It's Iron Maiden. It's Metallica. I got a guest from one of those bands on the show next week. Yeah. Who's it going to be? I'll give you some more clues. Not only does he play with Metallica, he also played with Suicidal Tendencies, Zakk Wylde, Infectious Grooves, Ozzy Osbourne. I'm talking about Robert Trujillo from Metallica. They're amazing bass player, amazing guy. Who else is bringing you someone from Metallica? Right here, Jericho, Robert Trujillo. Next Wednesday, we'll see you there in a big, yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.